Imagine sitting in a dark, cold jail cell for, I don't know, 3 entire years just because you forgot it was Friday and ate a few slices of bacon.
Yeah, and with no lawyer, no public trial.
Right, exactly. Just a literal scrap of pork on a piece of bread being used as like forensic evidence against your soul. That was actually the reality for an 80-year-old brass worker named Pedro Genesta in 1635.
It really was.
So today, our exploration into the source material is peeling back the curtain on the Holy Office of the Spanish Inquisition. We want to move past the myths of grand executioners to see how this machine actually functioned in the daily lives of everyday people.
And our guide for this is an incredible set of trial records from Barcelona. They were actually salvaged during the 1820 revolution.
Oh, right, when like 20,000 people stormed the Inquisitorial Palace and literally threw the archives out the windows.
Yeah, which is just such an incredible mental image. But the survival of these manuscripts shows us the Inquisition wasn't just some high-level heresy hunt. It was this massive, granular bureaucracy. I mean, Pedro wasn't caught by secret police.
Right, he was caught by the familiar system.
Exactly. Think of familiars as this, well, this network of lay informants. Your neighbor, your local grocer, even the woman running the tavern. For Pedro, his own hostess warned him it was St. Bartholomew's Eve, which was a prohibited fast day.
But he ate the bacon and onions anyway.
He did. And even just a remnant of bacon on his bread was enough evidence for a secret prison sentence.
That is so chilling. It's almost like living under a modern terms of service agreement, but it's, state mandated and enforced by your barista.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
But why did she snitch? I mean, was she getting paid a bounty or something?
Not usually. It was more about spiritual currency. By reporting a neighbor, you proved your own purity and protected yourself from suspicion. But what's really sad is Pedro's defense was literally just forgetfulness due to his age.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was just a plea for mercy against the fiscal, who was actually demanding torture.
Unbelievable. Over bacon. Well, if eating bacon was an accidental lapse, claiming supernatural powers was like a direct challenge to the church.
Oh, absolutely. Which brings us to Juan Duran in 1632. He boasted his prayer book was so holy that if you threw it in a fire with a crucifix, only the crucifix would burn.
Which is an insane claim to make out loud back then.
Right. He was basically challenging their monopoly on miracles. So they brought in the
With
calificadores.
Jesuit censors.
Exactly. They analyzed these so-called blasphemies and labeled them superstitious compacts with the devil.
But wait, I have to push back a little here. W was Duran actually a necromancer, or was he just a guy with a clever grift? I mean, it sounds like a classic 17th century scam artist.
Well, to the calificadores, it didn't matter. Faking a miracle meant you were using the devil's tools of deception anyway. The rigidity of the system meant there was no gray area at all.
And I guess that rigidity is why some people figured out how to use the system's own terror as a weapon.
Precisely. We move from the accidental victims to the desperate ones. Take Leonardo Felipe in 1637.
Oh, the Frenchman who mocked them.
Yeah, he literally said if there were a tavern in the next world, he'd wish to die immediately. Just totally flippant. But then you contrast him with Joseph Fernandez in 1736.
Right, the soldier. This is one of the most brilliant, desperate moves in the sources. He was stuck in a brutal military prison for desertion, right?
Yeah, and he knew the Inquisition's secret cells were actually cleaner and more orderly than the standard military jails. So he faked a pact with the devil just to get transferred.
That is wild. He completely weaponized the bureaucracy.
He really did. He knew their strict caution meant they'd have to investigate his fake heresy thoroughly, which bought him time. And when they finally realized he was faking, he was given abjuration de levi.
Which means light suspicion. But that wasn't just a slap on the wrist, was it?
No, not at all. It was basically legal purgatory. You weren't a formal heretic, but you were put under permanent surveillance. They didn't always need to burn you. They just needed to make sure you knew you were being watched.
Right. The system works through everyday control. It really reframes the whole institution. It wasn't just about grandpires. It was this bureaucratic net that caught the forgetful, the boastful, and the desperate.
Exactly. It policed the utterly mundane.
Well, here's a provocative thought for everyone listening to mull over. If that 1820 revolution hadn't happened, if those 20,000 people hadn't thrown those papers into the street, we would never know the names of these insignificant victims.
You'd have absolutely no idea they existed.
Right. So what modern secret records are being compiled right now that might only be understood 2 centuries from now? Like, what mundane habits of yours are being documented today that a future historian will look back on and find suspicious?